Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm glad you're with me today as we continue through Romans chapter 4. We're in the middle of a sentence which encompasses the 14th and 15th verses of Romans 4. Let's read those. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now, these are all one thought. Let's break down the thought. First of all, if the law made people heirs, then we have a problem. Problem number one, faith would be made void. You wouldn't need faith, you just need obedience. Because you have law. What equates to law better than obedience? So if you don't obey, you're against the law. That's a phrase we would use in our modern law, such as policeman or whatever. So it would be against the law. You don't need faith. You didn't have to believe in it. You just had to do it. So if God said, thou shalt not, you didn't have to have faith in thou shalt not. You just don't do it. So if those who are of the law are the ones who receive, then you don't need faith. And number two, the promise is of no effect. In other words, God shouldn't have promised anything to you. Because a promise has to be delivered upon. You don't make someone a promise that's conditional. That's not a promise, that's a paycheck. No more than you offer your children Christmas presents if they're good. That's what's wrong with the old Santa Claus philosophy of Christmas. You know, he's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. If you were good, you get presents. If you were bad, you get a lump of coal. Well, that idea, I think, came from the Christian idea of a God who blessed good people and a God who cursed bad people. But we don't see that in the Word. We don't see that in the New Covenant particularly. So if you're of the law, then you're an heir. If the law made you an heir, then number one, you don't need faith. Number two, the promise is of no effect. And then you've got to go into the 15th verse to get number three. But they're one thought. This is one sentence. So number three would be, the law would bring about wrath. Here's what we would be dealing with. If the law were in place, then you wouldn't need faith. God doesn't need to make you any promises. And you're about to see God's wrath. So in light of all of the things that Paul said about the wrath of God in the first chapter of Romans, you have to place all of those things within the context of the law. To me, this is why it's difficult to have a real grasp of New Testament theology without eschatology. That's a study of the last days. If your eschatology is still that the last days are in our future or that we're in them now, then you must very much believe that the wrath of God statements of the New Testament are either, you're either entering that era now or you're going to see that era in the future. And if that's the case, according to Romans 4:15, it's the law that brings about wrath, then you must believe that we're under the law. Well, I say that thinking, oh, surely the listener would go, we're not under the law. Maybe I should change my eschatology. How naive of me. When in reality, people that have an eschatology in which we're entering the last days, or the last days are still in our future, or we're somewhere near the end of the last days, they very much have law in their Christianity. Very much so. I mean, why do we think God's mad? Because people are living like sinners. Because they're sinning like crazy. Because they're a bunch of filthy animals. And so God's ticked off because everybody's living wrong. I hear it constantly. I have all but run myself out of social media because you guys listen to me, you know, I'm not combative anyway. I don't get on there and post people's responses to things people say. And some might view it as, well, Paul White doesn't care. Well, in some ways I don't, but it's also that I know it doesn't do any good. And I also don't have to have my opinion known, but I have just about given up on the thought processes of people who are perpetually infatuated with the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and people getting theirs. It has become exhausting that we want people to get what's coming to them. And it is almost as if we don't know any other way to be a Christian. When Paul says it's the law that brings wrath, understand he was staring down the barrel, so to speak, at the wrath of God finishing off the Mosaic economy in what would be AD 70. He didn't know it was AD 70, but we know that Jesus told them in Matthew 24 that these things were going to happen to that generation, so they knew they were approaching the end. It's why Paul has the mentality that he has. It's the law that works wrath. The last exhaustion of God's wrath was against the law. And he removed it as an obstacle. So it's the law that brings about wrath. And if you want to see people go into wrath now, drop the law on them. I mean, it'll still work. And I used to teach this verse as, if you want God to get mad at you, or if you want to preach an angry God, then put yourself under the law and watch God get angry. I don't know that that's not adding to the verse what Paul didn't mean. Paul's not prophesying this future. Paul's making a statement of fact. So he's not trying to give a quality to God, like if you go back under the law, God will get mad. Paul doesn't even mention God getting mad, but the wrath here isn't man, it's God. It's the law that brings about wrath. Then a semicolon in the middle of the 15th verse. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now that is interesting. Let me give you some homework. Check out Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there's no transgression. And check out Romans 5:13. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. We're going to make some connections. We'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.